morning and look with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. And his songs are important, amen? The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. It also says that we serve a God that giveth songs in the night. Amen. We know that in the nighttime when it's dark and bleak, it's giving a picture of those times when we don't know what to do or where to go. God gives us a song. Amen. You may not be the best singer in the world. You may not be a musical person at all, but when a music is given from the heart, I think God just hears a beautiful melody that goes with it. Amen. Thank you, Brother David, for that song. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we're at this morning. I want to really want to encourage you today where Paul is writing to this church at Philippi. We're just going to look at a few verses and make a few comments, and then we will be through this morning. So the Bible says in verse number 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." In verse number 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I want to draw your attention back to verse number 5, where the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." I want to preach a message from this verse here, this last phrase, entitled, "The Lord is at hand." Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness to us, and Father, for allowing us to gather together as a congregation as of one. And yet, as a congregation of one, we may listen, we may hear, but Father, we listen and we hear as individuals. And God, it's too many to know the hearts and minds of those sitting in the room this morning. But Father, I'm certain that there are those that need peace at this very moment. I pray that they would find it in you. There are those that may need peace this afternoon or next week, and I pray that this message would be in the hearts and minds of those. For God, there are so many times in our lives where we need and require your peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. And Father, we know that it is available because you are at hand. And God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. May these words be an encouragement to those that hear. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So in the very beginning of this chapter here, we find Paul talking to this church at Philippi. And I want to lay the foundation here real quickly as we look at these first three verses as kind of an introduction, as he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved."
It's very likely, as Paul writes this very, very personal letter to this church at Philippi, that evidently there were certain things going on. When you go back into chapter 2 and chapter 1, you see some of the difficulties that they were facing. And Paul is now encouraging them by saying, therefore, he says, so all of those things that I've said before, I want to say this now. And he reminds them who they are to him. He says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. I would dare say that the book of Philippians is one of the most encouraging epistles in the New Testament. As Paul writes to this church at Philippi, and they needed encouragement. They needed these things, which is why Paul is using the language that he's using. He mentions a few people in verse 2 by saying, I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Having a unity within a congregation is very, very important. And that's what Paul is getting at here. And he goes into verse number 3 and he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. He's saying, this is the church at Philippi and you're all working together for the same common goal, the same common cause. He says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So he's saying here that there was some work that needed to be done, and there was some encouraging that needed to be done, and there was some coming alongside that needed to be done. In verse number 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. Rejoicing, that is finding that joy again. I've mentioned this and preached on this multiple times. I'm not going to belabor this topic, but it is possible, no matter what situation that you are in, that you can rejoice. At the end of the day, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, notice what he says there in verse number 3. He says, whose names are in the book of life. Those names in the book of life, that is where we can start our rejoicing. Knowing that we know Christ as our Savior and nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. By the time we get to verse number 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, this particular phrase is where I want to draw. We're coming back to this phrase as we spring out into Philippians chapter 4. Okay? So we're going to come back to this phrase each and every time, but it's important that we describe this phrase. All right? So let's see. Asher, come here. You're on the end there. I need some help this morning. And I want you first to just stand over there under that light. All right? And so he's going to stand there, and he's over there. Now, I want to ask a question, as I want you to get this in your mind. Is Asher at hand? What I mean by that, is he within reach? Can you reach him, David? Briley, can you reach him? Alyssa, can you reach Asher? Dennis? Ella? I mean, the farther back we go, nobody can reach him. I can't reach him from here. He's not at hand. So what does it mean to be at hand? Well, it means to be near, to be present, to be within reach. So let me illustrate it this way. Asher, come hither over here. He's coming up, and woo-hoo! He is now at hand. You see this? He is at hand. He is within reach. Now, I may hold your hand out. Oh, man, the farther I get away from him, I mean, we can hold hands. He's my son. It's okay. But we can do this, but yet I'm slipping away. He's no longer at hand. But notice what he's saying here. He is near. He is present. He is within reach. I'd rather be like this. Put your arm around me. I'm your dad. It's okay. How many would like to walk with God like this? Because he's at hand. And the Bible here is saying, Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Yeah, mine's drawn a blank. He's still within reach. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's within reach. And really what should happen is everywhere that he goes, I should go. Because I want God to be in reach. I want God to be at hand in my life. You want God to be at hand in your life. And we can do that as we rejoice in the Lord. Because he's at hand. And so that's something to rejoice about, is it not? Amen. The Lord is within reach. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to illustrate that now. There are some other things that go along this with this phrase of the Lord is at hand. All right. There, it goes beyond this meaning of he is near, or he is with, or he is present, or he is within reach. There's something beyond that that we find within this definition of hand. Now we know that hand. Well, we've all, you know, most of us have two, and so we have that. But there's something else within this definition that is very, very important to understand. While the Lord is near and he is present, and he is within reach, the Lord is also in a state of execution. So what does that mean? It means the Lord is always doing something. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand in your life, always doing something, always executing something in your life. Hey, it also means to be under one's care. Now, we use the phrase today where we would say, you know, oh, well, he has me under his thumb. Now, that means he's controlling. And that is what at hand means. It means under one's care. It means to manage. It means to lead, to guide within his eternal purpose and executive power. Amen. What I'm trying to get at is what we need to understand this morning. As the Lord is at hand, basically we can sum it up in this: he is in control. We can also say that God, because he is at hand, because he is near, because he is present with us, because he is within reach, we can say and we can know that God is in control. That's something to rejoice about. Now, I want to break this down a little bit farther here because I want you to see number one this morning, that the Lord is at hand, therefore, be patient. Be patient. Notice in the very first phrase there in verse number 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. This idea of moderation here means to show restraint, to have a calmness of mind to bear prosperity and or adversity. So whether we are in a prosperous time or whether we are in a time of adversity, the Lord is at hand. But he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. This idea of moderation is to be patient. So what does patient mean? Well, it's the quality. This is key here. Get this. You might want to write this down because this is good. The Lord is at hand, therefore be patient. Notice something. It's the quality of enduring. You say, well, I can do that. I endure all kinds of things. So that makes me patient, right? Well, no, there's a little bit more after this. And the first part, if we just forget everything else, we could all say we're patient. But the rest of it says, the quality of enduring without murmuring or fretting. Uh-oh. How many of you that just counted you out? Because it did me. Okay, good. Those of you just, thank you for being honest there. The quality of enduring without murmuring or fretting. Sustaining afflictions with calmness and submission to the divine will. That's patience. That's being patient. How is it that we can be patient? Well, the Lord is at hand. Knowing that God is constantly working in my life and behind the scenes sometime in ways that you and I cannot see until God reveals them, I'm telling you, the Lord is at hand, so we need to be patient. We need to be patient with all men. We need to show our moderation to all men. Letter A, I want you to see that we need to be patient in our Christian labors. Patient in our Christian labors. You know, sometimes we get into this thing and we say, man, I've done all of this and I'm just waiting on God to bless. Why? And sometimes we say, I've done all of this and why isn't God blessing me? Well, think with me for a moment. And we've used this illustration multiple times, but I think it's key in all of our lives if we're going to be patient because the Lord is at hand. There is a time in our lives where we sow and we reap. We sow and we reap. Now, some things we reap pretty quickly. Other things take a long time. I've told you before that it takes about 7 years from a seed of an orange being planted in the ground. It takes 7 years, roughly, before you get your first orange off that tree. 7 years. That's a long time. There are other trees that produce fruit a little faster, but you're still going to wait. Why? Well, because you have to. I understand that we can go to Walmart or Winn-Dixie or Publix and we can buy an orange off the shelf, but there's something about growing your own, amen? There's something about being able to go out into the tree and taking it off that tree and say, I grew this. This is mine. But we get too impatient. And when we get impatient, here's what happens. We know the Lord is at hand in our life, and we know that He is near, we know that He is present, we know that He is within reach. But when we get patient, we typically move away from God. Because we get ahead of God and what He wants and what He is doing at hand, at work, in our lives. But in our Christian labors, we must understand the law of sowing and reaping, that we must sow before we reap the harvest. We have to know this. Because if we don't, we're going to get impatient and we're going to find ourselves falling farther and farther away from God because we're murmuring and we're complaining and we're fretting about when's that fruit going to be here? When's that going to happen? When is God going to bless me? We need to be patient in our labors. Letter B, we need to be patient in our hardships. In our hardships. Now again, I want you to keep in mind as Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he's telling them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You don't tell someone who is at peace to have peace. That would be pointless, wouldn't it? I mean, you're David's at complete peace this morning. David, have peace. Have peace, not sleep, just have peace. Just be relaxed, mellow, and patient, and knowing that the Lord is at hand. That's peaceful. It should be peaceful, and that's what Paul's trying to get them to, but they weren't here. Now let's say Brother Terry over here, he's in hardship. And so he's not at peace in his life. It would make more sense to say, hey, Brother Terry, be at peace, man. Now Paul doesn't just say, be at peace. He's giving them a formula of how they can be at peace. But it's in those times during a hardship that we can know the Lord is at hand. But we need to be patient. We can be patient in our Christian labors. We can be patient in our hardships, knowing that all worry and concern will fade into the air when God calls us home. It's a marvelous thing. But we can be patient in our Christian labors, patient in our hardships. We can be patient in sorrow. Patient in sorrow. In 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as those who have no hope. But there are times when we sorrow. Obviously, this church at Thessalonica was also sorrowing during this time. And what Paul was saying here is he says, you don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He is near, He is present, He is within reach, and He is working behind the scenes in your life. Therefore, be patient. We can be patient in our Christian labors, patient in our hardships, patient in sorrow. The Lord is at hand, therefore, be patient. Number two, we'll continue moving along here. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hey, the Lord is at hand, therefore, be prayerful. Now there are times, Asher, come back up here real quick. Run, man, come on, we're losing time. Now, if the Lord is at hand and He is near and He is present, He's present now and He is within reach and we're here, how many think it would just be really odd to spend all day like this and never say a word to one another? You have anything you want to say? Like, let me go back to my seat. Stop making me come up here. I mean, anything. But we would probably talk, right? I mean, sometimes Asher and I will be driving down the road. And, you know, there are times where there's nothing to say. But you know what he always finds? Something to say. Whether it's a question, whether it's a comment, whether it's a, hey, Dad. And I'm like, bro, it's only us two in the car. I know my name and I know who you're talking to, you know. And so, but we talk. Why? Because we're at hand. We're near. We are present. We are within reach. And so we would all agree that if we're at hand, it would be very, very weird and very, very awkward for neither of us to speak. Now, what if he's mad at me? He might not want to talk. What if I'm mad at him? I might not want to talk. Ooh, now we're on to something. Some of you haven't talked to God in so long because you're mad at Him. And that's basically what praying is. It's how we communicate with God. It's how we talk to Him. God chose to talk to us through His Word. So God speaks to us through this. We speak to God through our prayer. Mark 13:13 says, take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and neither do you. But I know He's at hand. I know He's near. I know He's present. I know He's within reach, and I know that He is working behind the scenes in my life. I can be prayerful. You know, Jesus prayed. You know, and it's interesting to me when we think about Jesus' prayers and as He separated Himself and segregated Himself to go somewhere and have a time of prayer. I've always found that interesting, that God's Son would go and have a conversation with His Father. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus knew God's heart. He knew exactly what He was sent to do, and yet He still prayed. He still prayed and communicated with God. I tell you, I think it's impossible. It is impossible to live a godly Christian life without prayer and Bible reading. Now, notice what I did not say. I didn't say it's impossible to be saved without prayer and the Bible. It's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about living a godly Christian life. It cannot be done without prayer and the Bible. Can't. You can come to church and not read your Bible. You can come to church and not pray. You can sing songs and not do those things. And you can even give sing songs of praise. adoration to God. But that is not a substitute for prayer. And he says very plainly here, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, one of the things that I see here at this church in Philippi is the fact that while they were not at peace in their life, and there was turmoil going on throughout this entire book as Paul is encouraging them, I also find that this was not necessarily a praying church. It's just my personal opinion here. Because again, if you wouldn't say to somebody that has peace, that they need peace, why would Paul say to a church, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God? Why would he say that if they were a strong praying church? My guess is, my opinion might be, or would be, that it's very likely they weren't. And Paul's encouraging them. He's saying, the Lord is at hand. He is near. He is present. He is within reach. And you can talk to him. And you can be careful in everything, and you can be prayerful in every part of your life. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He is at work. He is near. And He is working in my life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely or pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want you to take note that the Lord is at hand, therefore be patient. The Lord is at hand, therefore be prayerful. Number three, the Lord is at hand, therefore be pure. Be pure. We need to be pure in our thought life. Notice that all of this, and I know that he uses the word pure here, about fifth or sixth down the list here, while he says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And he is near, and he is present, and he is within reach, and he is working behind the scenes in my life and in your life. We need to stay pure. Oh, this is a battle. There are so many different things we can think. I don't know that I've ever heard the statistic on this, but I'm not even sure that it's even measurable in the amount of thoughts that we can think in a day. Could you imagine trying to count those? And if you did try to count them, every time you would go to count them, all you would be thinking about is counting your thoughts. And then that's all you were thinking, so really you only had one thought. But we have multiple thoughts, don't we? Some of you have already been in and out of this message all day long, and you catch part and you miss part. You catch part, you miss part. We need to change the way we think. And it starts with being pure. The truth is pure. The truth is honest and pure. Whatsoever things are just, it's pure. Whatsoever things are pure, are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, are pure. Whatsoever things are of good report, is pure. You see, we need to change the way we think into a time that we can be pure in our thought life. We also need to be pure in our speech. And here is one good indicator that you and I are not pure in our thought life is when our speech isn't pure. Uh-oh. We can be pure in our conduct, how we behave and the things that we do and the places we go. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is near. He is present. He is within reach. And He is constantly working in my life behind the scenes to do His will and to make it known unto me in His timing. The Lord is at hand, therefore be patient. The Lord is at hand, therefore be prayerful. The Lord is at hand, therefore be pure. And number four, we're going to bring this to a close. The Lord is at hand, therefore you can be at peace. You can be at peace. Again, he says back in verse number 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then again in verse number 9, he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can be at peace because the Lord is at hand. He is near. He is present. He is within reach. And He is always working behind the scenes in ways that you and I cannot see. Therefore, be patient. Be prayerful, be pure, and be at peace.